You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Cutting through the noise of inflation. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Overall inflation ticked up in December, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Consumer Price Index rose 3.4% year over year in December. That is higher than the number the month before, which was 3.1%. This is the wrong direction. On the other hand, if you take out food and energy, which are notoriously volatile, inflation did actually slow down slightly. Julia Coronado is here to make it make sense. She's founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. Hi, Julia.
Good morning.
So this one really depends on how you slice it. If you look at general inflation, bad. Inflation rose. If you take out food and energy, it's okay. Inflation was steady or fell. But on the other hand, you know, we all got to eat. We all got to stay warm. So how should we slice this?
Yeah, it was a month that wasn't the best of news. We've had some really good news lately. This report showed some mild backtracking. As you note, energy prices a little firm in December. But overall, crude oil prices suggest that energy prices are going to fall back again in coming months. And the bigger picture is that core inflation, which really measures the underlying trend, keeps moving in the right direction. And that's what we want to see.
And there have been predictions for various numbers of Fed rate cuts this year. Does this change anything about how and when and how often the Fed's going to cut rates?
It doesn't really change much. The market is expecting a rate cut as early as March. It could be March. It could be May. But this report, if we keep getting data like this, it is consistent with the Fed moving to rate cut in the first half of the year.
Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives, professor at University of Texas, Austin. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Now, one of the few things we have to protect us from inflation is wage growth. And that has been slowing down, but it's still running higher than inflation, which means, in a way, workers have a little bit of extra change in their pockets. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Americans' real earnings have been rising by nearly 1% a year. That's the actual purchasing power of a worker's paycheck after accounting for inflation. And the highest earners are getting ahead even more, from stocks and other financial assets, says economist Brett House at Columbia Business School.
People at the very high end of the income spectrum, in many cases, have seen their total compensation grow even more quickly than workers at the lower skilled end of the spectrum.
Fierce competition for service workers coming out of the pandemic drove outsized pay raises for a while, says Frank Fiorelli at Payroll Processor Paychecks.
When wage growth was very high, the job switchers could go get another job and get a pretty big increase. And we've really seen that kind of come off the boil.
Fiorelli says back in May 2022, workers got an 11% pay boost on average by switching jobs. Now it's just over 6%. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI?
I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The IRS has a watchdog, the Taxpayer Advocate Service, and that watchdog says there's still lots of room for improvement on things like processing tax returns and answering phone calls, but that the IRS is making progress. The National Taxpayer Advocate submitted her annual report to Congress yesterday. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has more.
First, the good news. National Taxpayer Advocate Erin Collins says the IRS has almost eliminated its backlog of unprocessed original individual income tax returns, and it's substantially improved phone service. Collins notes the IRS got significant new funding from the Inflation Reduction Act, but she adds the agency still has a tall mountain to climb. In fiscal year 2023, IRS workers only answered 29% of all calls received. The backlog of unprocessed amended tax returns has almost quadrupled since 2019. Taxpayer correspondence cases have more than doubled, and victims of identity theft have to wait more than a year and a half on average for the IRS to resolve their cases. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The Securities and Exchange Commission has just made it a lot easier for people to invest in Bitcoin. After a decade, the SEC reluctantly approved the trading of something called an ETF, exchange-traded fund, for Bitcoin. Emphasis on reluctantly there. The chair of the SEC, Gary Gensler, made a point of coming out and saying, "We do not approve or endorse Bitcoin." For more, we have Ari Redbord, a former federal prosecutor and U.S. Treasury Department official who's now global head of policy at TRM Labs, a cryptocurrency compliance firm. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
So, you know, a normal ETF is sort of like investing in like an average of a bunch of different stocks. Does this mean you're investing in like an average of a bunch of different cryptocurrencies? Like if I buy a Bitcoin ETF, what exactly am I buying?
What this essentially is allowing investors to do is to invest in Bitcoin. It's really important to note we're not talking about a basket of cryptocurrencies here. We are just talking about Bitcoin. And what this allows investors is real-time access to invest in Bitcoin without going through a cryptocurrency exchange. It's essentially spot trading, but spot trading of Bitcoin. And this gives investors access to, you know, the oldest cryptocurrency, the largest cryptocurrency, without the friction of setting up a wallet, engaging with a crypto ecosystem, which for some people has been something that's very intimidating or very hard to do, comes with certain risks. Average investors will now have direct exposure to Bitcoin.
So where will people see this? The same place that they invest for their retirement accounts, the same place they buy stocks or bonds?
So yeah, anyone with a brokerage account through these major players is able to invest in Bitcoin today.
Part of the appeal of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency generally is that it's maybe kind of a more democratic form of investing, sort of independent, not associated with Wall Street. With this ruling, Wall Street has a green light to jump in. What do you think the implications of that are?
The ethos going back 15 years of Bitcoin is this idea of a peer-to-peer decentralized financial system where funds can move cross-border, you know, at the speed of the internet without financial intermediaries. So I think it's a really interesting moment in the space. I will certainly say that I think two things can be true. One, that the promise of cryptocurrency is this idea of peer-to-peer decentralized cross-border value transfer. But regular consumers ready to jump in, this is a way for them to do it.
Ari Redbord is global head of policy at TRM Labs, a cryptocurrency compliance firm. He's also a former federal prosecutor and Treasury Department official. Mr. Redbord, thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.